This is Jaguars Postgame. Jaguars Postgame. And Jaguars great Fred Taylor will break down today's game. Jeff Loggeman will have player interviews and an exclusive conversation with head coach Doug Marrone. Jaguars Postgame is presented by Baptist Health, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Jags win it. Final score 30-24 over the Seattle Seahawks. The Jaguars improved to 9-4 after one of the most incredible second halves of football you will see. Let's go outside the Jags locker room. Head coach Doug Marrone is with Jeff Loggeman.
All right. Thank you, JP. Just joined now by head coach Doug Marrone. Doug, congratulations. A great victory at home against a quality opponent, the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, first, you know, the fans were awesome. You know, it was great, you know, the fans that we had there today. And, you know, we made it probably a little bit more exciting for them at the end. But, you know, at the end of the day, our guys worked extremely hard. And, you know, this is the first win of the fourth quarter, and it's a good way to start it. And, you know, we have a division opponent next week, like I told the players. But, you know, it's a good win.
Patrick Amame got back in the lineup today. And I know it wasn't just him, but the performance of the offensive line, over 150 yards rushing. Blake Bortles had a clean pocket the entire day. Tremendous job by them.
They really did a great job. I mean, you look at it from a standpoint of just, you know, the line and the tight ends are obviously involved in that, and the backs, and then, you know, in the protection scheme of things, and, you know, the young receivers along with, you know, Marquise Lee, you know, made some big plays in this game, and Blake played extremely well again. So, you know, we just got to keep this thing going, and when we can run the ball and keep a clean pocket, you know, we're able to score points. I don't think it's not something that's just made up. I mean, when you do that's what usually happens. So, but, you know, they got to perform and execute, and they did a nice job of that. I thought, you know, Mick makes a big play on special teams. You know, we gave up a play. Defense had a couple turnovers. We gave up four big plays, but that's you know, we've got to clean that up, and we will. That's not characteristics of what we're trying to get accomplished on that side of the ball.
Yeah, when you talk about all those different aspects that you just talked about, I mean, it's the epitome of complementary football. When one area may be weak or have a poor performance, and all of a sudden the next one covers for it, because it was complementary football from beginning to end.
It is, and that's what we talked about as far as in December when you're playing games. You know, you got to play, you know, complementary football. You know, you got to play well in all three phases. All three phases are going to have to support each other, you know, to win games in December.
Russell Wilson, fourth quarter, number one rated quarterback in the National Football League. Obviously, those kind of plays haven't been happening every week for him, but you knew that this game wasn't going to be over until it was over because of him.
Well, he's a great player, you know, and I said he's an MVP-type candidate this year. He had my vote, you know, after watching and studying him all week. And, you know, it shows you he can extend plays, he can run, he can do a lot of things. You know, I think he's a great player.
Salty their ending there with the Seahawks kind of doing some things there in a take-a-knee situation that didn't look very good.
Well, again, and I'll look at it on tape, and, you know, we don't want stuff like that in the game, but, you know, it's a competitive game, and, you know, the juices are flowing out there, and both teams was, you know, got close near the end. So, I mean, those things occur, but those are things we're trying to keep out of the game.
You ensure the first winning season in a very long time, having a winning record. Also, with the Titans losing against the Arizona Cardinals, you're now in sole place, the first place in the division. That's got to feel good.
Well, you know, I don't really try to think of it that way. I just try to think of it, you know, what is it going to be at the end of 16 games, and, you know, keep our focus on the, you know, the next game in the quarter. I mean, you know, we're 1-0 in the fourth quarter, and, you know, our goal is to win the quarter, and, you know, we got, you know, two division opponents left, and, you know, we got to get ourselves ready, but this is, you know, a great start.
Enjoy it.
Great.
Congrats.
I will. Thank you, Jeff.
Head coach Doug Marrone with Jeff Loggeman, J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. This game was 3-0 at halftime. How about that, Fred? What a game. What a second half.
A great second half. A lot of big plays. It all came down to who made the biggest play at the last moment. The defense stepped up there, got him turnover on downs with a big sack, as a matter of fact. So, awesome game. Man. Awesome game.
A win, yes. The Titans lost, so the Jags are in first place alone in the AFC South at 9-4. Everything came together. Defense wavered there towards the end, some big plays, but Mike, they came through when they had to. They held on.
Boy, they really did. And, you know, it was inexplicable, JP, how well they played defensively. And when you go back to, you know, earlier, Doug Baldwin catches that 43-yard pass, which shouldn't have counted because he bobbled
right,
it, right?
Right.
Well, I guess everybody's where they should be, probably in the line. No one's here. It's the smallest crowd we've had. Here, But obviously a great crowd today. And I think I was excited for, our players. I was excited for our fans, to come out there today. And, I told the players afterwards, we felt good during the week. We felt, very confident. Just knowing that we had to go out there and perform. I thought that all three phases kind of complemented each other at times, during the game, which I think you have to do to win games late in the season in December. I also told the players that, hey, listen, this is the first game of the fourth quarter. Let's not get distracted with any noise on the outside. Let's, get ready. We got an in-division opponent next week, and we've got to get ready to play again. And, obviously the season's, not over. And like the same thing, we're not going to get too high. We're not going to get too low. We're going to work our butts off and see if we can get ourselves ready for next week.
How impressed were you with your offense play turnover free?
Against a good they've done a good job over a course of time of really creating turnovers. I thought that, it wasn't just that we just had Pat, back in the lineup. Obviously Pat was back in the lineup, but I thought that we ran the ball well, which is a credit to the guys up front, the tight ends, the running backs did a nice job. I thought that we had a pretty clean pocket, throughout the game, and everyone knows they have an excellent pass rush. I thought our young receivers kind of stepped up. They made some big plays out there along with, Marquise Lee. So that was really good to see. Those guys have really been working hard, to make plays like that on Sunday. That stuff just doesn't occur. They're talented individuals, but, you got to work extremely hard against, good defense. So I thought, from that standpoint, it felt very comfortable, when we can run the football and, we can have a clean pocket. Blake had another really good game, so excited about, putting those things back to back. And, defensively, we gave up four big plays, a couple of runs, but the four big plays. And that's what a guy like, Russell Wilson can do to you. He's a, I said it during the week, he'd have my vote, I think he's an outstanding player. He can, keep the plays going, which he did, and throw it down the field. And they got good skill players, and they can make plays, and they did it. I thought special teams, it was unfortunate, Corey had the fumble, but then Mick picks one up and takes it down to the one, and that's what I mean about, complimentary stuff like that, in doing that. So that was a good play. And I thought that the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter, we had that good drive coming out. I thought that was a key drive. Obviously you're going to look at the end of the game now, but I thought, for us to get that ball out of there at the minus two, because defensively we were able to cause turnovers, which is important for our team. But I thought, when we get the turnovers and we can move the ball, one of the turnovers we scored a touchdown with, but moving the football is important.
At the end of the game, did your guys show some composure to not get ejected like some other guys did?
Well, we talk about that, weekly. It's not just to a certain opponent. We talk about, making sure that the decisions we make on the field, are team decisions. No matter what we feel or what we do, we want to do what's best for the team. So, emotions run high in games, across the NFL. So we try to make sure that our players understand that as they go.
Doug, how have you helped turn Blake around? You were here as offensive line coach, but what he's done, even in those last two games when he took over last year and this year, what's the key? What's the difference in him, do you see?
Probably a little bit of stability. He has, Nate was here, prior to that, and was his coach. And then Nate became the coordinator, at a certain time, last year. And then having the whole offseason and feeling real comfortable, with the situation, what we're doing. I think that Scott Milanovich helps too, We hired Scott to be the quarterback coach. I think for that support in that room, and the guy that you don't talk about a lot that does a good job for him too is Chad. That's something that kind of probably gets missed in the whole thing. And then you got to give a lot of credit to Blake. A lot of times, I've said this before that, that position, it's hard at times, because, when you get a lot of blame, some of it's deserved and some of it's not, But, to be able to come back and work hard and do those things. But it's still not, you know, it's the book's not ended yet, you know. So it's we're excited about where we are. But like I said, in this league, and I've said it many times in the press conferences, you know, or during the week, you know, when you guys are around, is that you got to prove it every Sunday, you know. And that's one thing that we have to do as a team. You know, every Sunday we have to go out there and play to win.
Sorry. Can you talk about the two wide receivers, the two rookie wide receivers, yeah. Cole and Westbrook, and especially Westbrook since he's come off IR and his contribution?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see it, obviously, you know, it's the stuff that we expected today. I mean, there was some tough catches, you know, contested balls that he was able to make. I give him credit because, you know, when you're placed on that, you're not practicing. You know, so people kind of lose sight of that a little bit. You know, here's this young kid who's practicing, and then now all of a sudden he's not practicing for a long period of time. You know, how do you get him caught up as far as, you know, the timing with the quarterback and in-game timing and things of that nature? So, you know, he has done a very good job, you know what I'm saying, working his butt off to do that. Cole, you know, has been around all year, you know, and he's, you know, really trying to work and managing his body and managing how he feels and things of that nature. He was an undrafted, you know, free agent from Kentucky Wesleyan, you know, and, you know, he's done a very good job. And, you know, I think he's starting to come along and make some plays for us, which, you know, which we need.
Biggest crowd of the year. Could you feel it out there?
Absolutely. I thought the crowd was outstanding. I know that our players were fired up for it. And, you know, like I said before, we just try to go out there and you know, earn the respect of our fans. They're great, and you know, we know we have to perform well, and you know, we got to keep doing that. You know,
they cut it to six, get the ball back. Was it a couple of anxious moments there for you?
Hell yeah! Hell yeah! There's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, you're thinking, shoot. I mean, you know, first you're thinking, okay, how many drives? And less than 7 minutes did I have? You know, what's the average drives in that range with the three timeouts? And all of a sudden, boom! It's a touchdown now. You're like, shoot, we're playing. You know, and I went over to the office and I thought we were playing well. I said, hey, listen, we're going to go play. Let's go play football. You know what I'm saying? Let's go win this game. You know, and then, you know, they went out there and then, you know, we took up some clock and then we wound up getting the ball back. And then, you know, at the end, you know, that's a big run, you know, to stop the game. And you take the ball away from a guy that, you know, is the best quarterback in the league in the fourth quarter.
Doug, you said that the book for this team isn't over yet. What do you want the team to focus on to finish out the season?
Well, I don't want them to focus on the end. I want them to focus. Probably for me, what I usually talk to the team about is, you know, Wednesday we'll come in here, we'll put this game to bed quickly, and then our focus will be on our next opponent, you know, and that's and what we have to do that day, you know, to make sure that we can perform on Sunday. And that's been what we've been doing all year. It really has. That hasn't changed.
With your headset on, you got a lot of things going on, and it's only the first game of the fourth quarter, as you like to say. Do you pay attention at all to when they plaster a final score that says Arizona beats Tennessee?
My experience been in this league is that, you know, those ups and downs, the season's not over. When the season's over and you're there, then, hey, okay, good. Okay, here we go. Next chapter in the world of the NFL, you know, playoffs. So I don't really get into that. The only thing I looked up and saw was, like, there were people in a pool. I was like, holy cow. Because I was thinking, I don't think those pools are heated. I swear. I mean, not during the game, guys. I mean, I'm not during the game, but like before the game, I'm looking up there and, you know, I kind of look around and I'm like, oh my God, there are people in the pool.
You talked about Wilson and what you were going up against. I mean, you hit him in the mouth with three interceptions today, but he also hit you with two bombs in this game. Talk about the uniqueness of having to game plan against a Russell Wilson. So I know you talked about it during the week, but was it what you saw all along or seen from him?
Dangerous. I mean, shoot. I mean, you know, you go out there, it doesn't take – everyone knows. I mean, he can make all the throws. He can extend plays. He can run for first downs. He can get up. He can avoid sacks. I mean, you know, it's like a combination of a lot of different guys that I've gone against in my experience. And – you know, put into one, and he's an outstanding competitor. He really is, and I think it showed today. And you know, we came up on top, which is good. Why don't you guys write your stories, get out of here, and go relax and go party?
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Thanks. Sure. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's making big plays, man. They made the big play when they really needed it.
You're right about that, because we're sitting here as they run out of bounds and it's third and one. We're thinking, you know, you almost rather them get the first down there because you think, oh, they're going to get 1 yard. But this defense doesn't think like that, Fred. Unfortunately, they don't, because that's when they got the sack. And all of a sudden, that really almost iced the game right there.
How about the Jaguars' run game today? I mean, Leonard Fournette goes for 101, a touchdown, 24 carries. Ivory showed up a 34-yard run.
Talk about the bump, the 75-yard play. You know, right there and then. Talk about how that got set up and that like coming right out of the huddle and going to hit them.
Yeah,
right out the
it's kind of funny because we repped it a couple times during the week, and I think it was actually the first play of practice on Wednesday. I threw a pick on it, and we kind of changed up the read on it and said, we're going to throw this ball to Keelan no matter what. If it's not open, check it down. He ran an unbelievable route and obviously ran away from everybody.
Two huge performances back-to-back. Does that give you guys momentum offensively moving forward?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, it's still the first year playing in the system, and, you know, I think that gets forgotten a lot of the time. And guys, week by week, are starting to become more comfortable with it, more confident in it, and kind of going out there and playing free rather than thinking. And I think it's only going to continue to get better.
The way, though, that you responded, you know, you're up down 10-0 up, and then they come right back, but then you hit the big play, and, you know, the defense didn't play its typical defensive day, and the offense had to keep coming back and put points on the board. That has to be.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of it just speaks to kind of the evolution of this organization and what Doug has done and coming in here and changing the culture, what, you know, some of the guys in the locker room have done to change the culture. And then obviously we've said it all year long, there's going to come a time when we're going to have to find a way to win offensively. You know, Russell Wilson's an unbelievable football player. He's going to do a lot of stuff like that. So we knew we were going to have to score points. And I think the guys did a really good job of when they made big plays and scored touchdowns, nobody got down or hung their head or anything. It was kind of, well, that's fine. We know we can go back out and score again, so it's all right.
Played a big week last week, but it was, but it's Indianapolis, a team that's struggling. Seattle, no such excuses for anybody who doesn't, you know, kind of want to accept a performance like that. For you, is that particularly fulfilling?
You know, I don't look at it like that. I look at, you know, whether it's Indy or Seattle or whoever we play next week, you know, I think it's all the same. I treat it all the same. I know it's viewed differently outside of this building, but I know inside of this building it's one game at a time, one quarter at a time, and we're just trying to win each quarter.
I know it's either three or four or four or five games for you without a pick today, no turnovers. Just how critical is that to keep the offense on track, not, you know, change the game?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, we talk about it every day. You know, every day throughout the week, you know, we got to make sure we take care of the ball and don't turn it over. Every time we sit in here and Doug puts up, you know, kind of what we need to do in order to win the turnover, a battle is always won. So it's something that we know in order for us to put ourselves in position to win each game, if we can continue to not turn it over or limit the turnovers, we'll have a chance every week.
Well, you said it was the same, but in the second half, it was dark, it was cold, lots of fans. Did it feel different every time you went out there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it felt kind of like what you think about when you think about meaningful December football. You know, I think that's what it was. You know, it's a playoff-type atmosphere against a good team, you know, under the lights in front of your home crowd. You know, there's not a whole lot more you can ask for. So to go out there and be able to perform like that in front of Jacksonville in our stadium was pretty special.
Did you feel that it sharpened your focus, that it sharpened the focus of your teammates when you stuck your head in the huddle?
Yeah, you know, I don't know about that. I think that the focus is the same every week. You know, obviously, you start playing meaningful December football, the stakes are kind of raised. But I don't think you can look at it any differently. I think you start to do that, you start to press, you start to do things that you haven't done before. So everything that we've done offensively has been good enough, and, you know, we just got to continue to do that.
Blake, do you feel this was your best performance individually tonight?
You know, I don't know. I have to watch it. You know, I know I felt as though I put, you know, our offense in a chance to score points. Obviously, you know, not turning the ball over is a big part of that. So as long as we can do that, you know, we'll go back and grade it. There'll be plays that were bad that we'll have to get corrected, but there was a lot of plays made out there by the wide receivers and the running backs on the offensive line that were pretty awesome.
Like, I know it's one game at a time, but it's been a long 3-plus years, and you got your 9th win, so you're a winning football team. Is that cause for celebration at all?
Yeah, you know, we can celebrate it tonight, and then we'll get to work tomorrow. Well, I guess we got victory Monday, so we get actual little celebration time. But, you know, it's cool. There's, you know, everybody kind of talks about, you know, Puz never being on a winning football team and how special it is to be able to give a guy like that this type of season. You know, it's pretty amazing.
How would you rate the offensive line's performance? Seattle's defense is notorious for being very good. How would you rate them?
I thought they were unbelievable. Obviously coming into a game like this, all you hear about all week is how good their defense is and, you know, what they've done in the past and who they stop and who they stopped last week. And, I think, you know, kind of to Sam's statement, you know, they definitely got a little more juice because of all of that they were hearing. I think they came out fired up, and I thought they did an unbelievable job. You know, they opened up holes in the run game. I don't think there was a sack. You know, I got hit very little, so it was a really good day on their part.
You weren't involved in the scrums, but over the last couple of weeks, we've seen nothing but chippiness. Is that due to an attitude change from this group?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a little bit of that. I think it's a little bit of people aren't used to getting beat like that by the Jaguars. I think, you know, kind of to the first part of what you said is, you know, there's no reason to take anything from anybody. You know, we just beat the crap out of you for 60 minutes. I think obviously you got to be smart and understand the situation and what's going on and not do anything stupid. But, I think this team definitely plays with a little bit of an edge.
Is it kind of surreal to see a player climbing into the stands almost to that point?
Did that happen?
Yeah, I think someone almost threw
it. He didn't make it all the way.
Ron Artest action? I never saw it, but, going in the stands probably isn't too smart.
Like you mentioned, the fact that, you know, as Dan was mentioning, this is a winning football team, and you're playing meaningful games in December now. How is it feeling right at this point that every game now that you step out on the field means something?
Right. It's obviously the best it's ever felt since a lot of us have been here. There's a couple guys that have been around for a while. But I think for the majority of the locker room and the team and the guys that have been here for a year or two or 3 years, this is really the first taste of playing meaningful football in December. I think there's no better way to start the fourth quarter than winning the first game against Seattle. That's a big one. But it feels good. You know, it's tough to explain. It's awesome. It's a good feeling. You know, kind of like I said, it's cool to play in that atmosphere in Jacksonville, against a good team like Seattle.
They put up the Titans-Cardinals score. The Titans had lost, and the crowd kind of exploded. Were you able to kind of see that as you were on
the field? Yeah, they, you know, when they show scores like that, especially divisional opponents in a divisional race, you kind of look up there every now and then and get a glimpse. So it's, you know, good to see that that Arizona beat them.
Like, a lot of people talk, including yourself, about the culture shift of this team that Doug has instilled in the team. What does that mean exactly?
You know, I think, I always kind of revert back to the first and, you know, coming in here and talking to the team. And, he said, everything that we're going to do is about winning. You know, obviously you guys have heard Coughlin talk about that. But anything that's not helping us win, we're not going to do. So that's the number one focus. That's all we care about. We're going to go win. And then I think, obviously, you know, bringing in some guys like Calais and a couple of the guys on those defense that have been, you know, unbelievable all year long and put us in positions to win football games. They've been awesome. But it's just changed the culture. And I think when you go out there and you put a good product on the football field and you go play week in and week out and execute and do your job, you know, the confidence only continues to grow.
How much more comfortable are you with Cole and Russell? Yeah. You've had to play all year.
Yeah, I mean, it gets better and better each week. You know, the more reps we can get, the better it is. They've done an unbelievable job. Didi played great today. Keelan obviously had that long one. They're both rookies, and it's kind of cool to watch them grow and get better week in and week out. They've been incredible.
Thanks.
These issues, Plumbers 911 can help. When it comes to your plumbing and HVAC issues, trust our trained technicians for your job. Visit plumbers911.com now to schedule your appointment. Guys, don't try to DIY. Just visit plumbers911.com.
Relax. It's just a sleepover. Besides, we've got DirecTV, so we've totally got this.
Okay, kids, movie time!
Maybe not, with your satellite dish in this heavy storm.
Who was that?
Me? I'm the legal disclaimer.
Fine. We'll play musical chairs instead.
You have two chairs and a couch.
Don't let DirecTV rain on your parade. Xfinity delivers reliable TV service, rain or shine. Severe weather, heavy rain or snow may interfere with the satellite signal, causing the picture to freeze or pixelate.
Hey fans, be there live to support the Jaguars at Everbank Field this season. Always buy your Jaguars tickets from our official ticketing partner, Ticketmaster, and the NFL Ticket Exchange. Only Ticketmaster has verified tickets that are 100% guaranteed to get you in every time. Other sellers can only guarantee they'll give you a refund if they sell you a fraudulent ticket. So go with a trusted source and our official partner and know you're going to the game.
Hi, this is Tony Baselli. It's no secret that I love the sandwiches at Daily's Dash.
But there's one sandwich that stands above the rest of them, and it keeps me coming back over and over again. It's called the Boss. They pile that bad boy with lots of roast beef, Munster cheese, roasted mushrooms, caramelized onions, and of course, some dash sauce. Which, as much as I travel during football season, this sandwich is one more thing that makes me eager to get back to Jacksonville. I could eat the Boss every day. Daly's, a local Jacksonville company. It's nicer here.
It only takes a drop of water to cause someone to slip and fall, but it takes a lot more to prove that your injuries were the result of negligence. The store said the floor was dry. Our investigators learned that on the day of the accident, it had been raining.
So the next time it rained, we went back. And guess what? Rainwater was dripping from the ceiling exactly where our client was injured. When you're in for the fight of your life, investigators with 30 years of experience is a good thing. Farrah and Farrah, Jacksonville.
Jaguars postgame rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor, 30-24 the final. Jaguars win it over the Seattle Seahawks, who improved to 9-4. They're in first place alone in the AFC South for the first time entering Week 15 since 2010, when they were 8-5. And they're five games over 500 for the first time since Week 17 of the 2007 season. Jaguars now 9-4, first place in the division. Here's how it happened tonight. Let's get to the highlights. First half, tight one. Lambeau, 38-yard field goal. 3-0 Jaguars. The defense gets into it. Jalen Ramsey with an interception.
Play fake. Wilson drops the throw. Looking. Fires it deep downfield. Good coverage in the secondary, and the ball is intercepted. The ball is picked off in the back of the end zone by Jalen Ramsey.
What a play there by Ramsey in the back of the end zone to get the pick. Jags couldn't do much with it, though. Walsh, no good from 38 yards right near halftime for the Seahawks, so the Jags led 3-0 at halftime. Here we go. Jags defense again. Opening drive of the half. A.J. Boye this time with an interception. A great one.
He's rushed out of there again. Scrambles to his right. Pump fake. Now throws well downfield. He's got a man. That ball's intercepted. A.J. Boye made up ground and picked it off.
And the Jags cash it in for points a little bit later. Bortles to Westbrook. 18 yards for the score.
Dropping is Blake. Fires to the right corner of the end zone. Got a man out there. Caught. Touchdown. In the right corner in the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. D.D. Westbrook.
10-0 Jaguars lead. Walsh at a 28-yard field goal to get the Seahawks on the board. 10-3 at that point. Ensuing kickoff, Corey Grant fumbles.
This will be fielded at the 1-yard line by Corey Grant. He's to the 15. The ball comes out. The ball is fumbled by Corey Grant.
And it's covered by the Seahawks. They cash it in. Two plays later, Wilson to Baldwin.
Play fake. He drops the throw. Fires toward the middle of the field. That ball is caught for the touchdown by Doug Baldwin. He beat Barry Church. He was the closest defender to him.
That tied the game 10-10. Ensuing Jaguars drive. It didn't last long. Bortles to Keelan Cole for a 75-yard score.
Two right, one left, shotgun. Play fake. Bortles drops, steps up, fires deep down the middle of the field. Got a receiver out there. Keelan Cole with the catch. Inside of 30, the 20, the 15, inside the 5. Keelan Cole, touchdown. How's that for an answer? 75-yard touchdown pass from Blake Bortles to Keelan Cole.
Incredible play, 17-10. Jaguars led it. The Seahawks had to punt 3-and-out after that. And then Jadon Mickens with a long return all the way to the 1.
Gets it off. That's a low punt. Jadon Mickens comes up and then gets away. Now fields it on the bounce. He's to the 30-yard line. Straight up the field is Jadon. To the 45. Into Seahawks territory. The 40. 35. 30. Jadon Mickens inside the 20. Mickens still on his feet inside the 5. He is going to get tackled just shy of the goal line. How good has this guy been?
At the 1-yard line, Fournette punches it in from a yard out.
The give to Fournette running to the left side. Leonard Fournette into the end zone. Touchdown. That was easy. A 1-yard touchdown run by Leonard Fournette to extend the lead.
24-10. What a swing there. And then the Jags defense strikes again. A.J. Boye for a second time.
Dropping is Wilson again. Looking, lots of time, fires it deep downfield. He's got Baldwin out there, but it's going to be picked off by A.J. Boye. A.J. picked it off. He was covering Baldwin. And A.J. Bouye, another pick for that Jags' terrific secondary.
That set up a long drive for the Jags. 13 plays, 65 yards in 7.5 minutes. Lambeau hit a 51-yard field goal to make it a three-possession game. 27-10. The Seahawks were not done. Wilson, on the next play, hits Paul Richardson for a 61-yard score.
Wilson drops the throw. Steps up. Still on his feet, fires deep downfield, got a man wide open. That ball is going to be caught. He got away from a defender, and it's going to be a quick touchdown. A long touchdown pass to Paul Richardson.
27-17 at that point. The Jags answered with a field goal 32 yards from Lambeau after eating 5 minutes 43 seconds. So a 30-17 lead. And then two plays later, Wilson hits Lockett this time for a long score.
3:52 to play. Wilson fires deep down the sideline. He's got a man wide open. Lockett is behind the defense. He's going to score inside the 5, touchdown. Lockett got deep along the right sideline, and Seattle has scored again.
Oh, my indeed. 30-24. The Jags had to punt in the next possession. The Jaguars' defense with a big sack from Malik Jackson got him off the field on downs. The chippiness at the end as the Jags were kneeling down. That's how it happened tonight. Catch your breath. Jags win it 30-24 over the Seattle Seahawks. One of the wildest halves of football you'll see. Wildest we've seen around here in a long time.
No doubt.
I'll tell you that.
You know, listening to those highlights, let's not forget Josh Lambeau. He's Mr. Automatic right now. I mean, how much confidence you have in this guy? 51-yarder, boom, piped it. I mean, everything. And they needed it, right? I mean, you thought, okay, it's a little bit stretching it out and making it cosmetic at the end. But it wasn't. The Jags ended up winning the one-possession game, and Lambeau was big.
Love it.
51 points halftime.
How about that, right? Three to nothing at the half, right? Two different games.
Really incredible.
51 points. That's amazing.
Jags got 6 more at the end tonight. 30-24 the final. We'll come back with the Everbank Stats Check. Thought it'd be interesting. Also, the Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game still to come. Jags win, and they improved to 9-4 with a win over the Seattle Seahawks. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
At Everbank, we're defined by performance. It's not just lip service. We live it and bring it to you every day through our Yield Pledge Promise, which guarantees your money will earn some of the most competitive yields around. And that promise is yours when you open a Yield Pledge checking or money market account. We do the legwork while your money performs. It's your money. Make the most of it. Stop by a local financial center or visit us online at everbank.com/Jaguars. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Everbank is a division of TIAA, FSB, member FDIC.
Brooks Rehabilitation provides a system of care to help people achieve their highest level of recovery. Brooks offers inpatient rehabilitation, skilled nursing, outpatient therapy, home health care, assisted living and memory care, research and community programs. No matter the setting, Brooks provides individualized care from expert clinicians and are committed to exceptional service. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
The only way to top a Jaguars touchdown is with an extra point, right? Well, for 6 big fun points, score one touchdown of a vacation with a Carnival cruise from Jacksonville. Sail to the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Bermuda aboard the Way Fun Carnival Elation. Plus, the ship is now sporting 4 new bars and restaurants, including signature Guy Fieri burgers, a new water park, and for the first time ever, more balcony staterooms. Talk about the extra point, Jacksonville? No, that's a 2-point conversion. Visit Carnival.com today to find your cruise and a great deal.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I feel like a whole new person.
Disclaimer, you will not become a whole new person. This is impossible. You might be able to join a gym or diet program, buy a new wardrobe, get hair implants, but your DNA and physical form will remain the same. Geico waives any and all liability if you attempt to become a new person, except a cyborg. If you choose to become a half-human, half-cybernetic organism with lasers for eyes, the Geico legal team would be cool with that because, quote, laser eyes are pretty sweet. Pew, 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 end quote.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Jaguars postgame continues. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor, some tweets coming out of the postgame availability. We got to get this. This is fantastic. Somebody asked Blake Bortles about the recent games being chippy for the Jags. Quote, teams aren't used to getting beat by the Jags. We beat the crap out of them for 60 minutes, end quote.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
And it's true on the offensive side, by the way.
That's my quarterback, man.
Blake's a little chippy himself, right? I mean, like, why shouldn't he be, right? I mean, he's taken it on the chin for several seasons, you know, and rightfully so at times. But he's playing great football right now. He's probably got a lot of pent-up frustration. How about the offensive line, though, right? Did Blake have a finger laid on him tonight, Fred, other than when he actually ran the ball?
Yeah.
And when the running backs went over a buck 50 without having to have Blake pitch in, what a job by the offensive line for the Jaguars tonight. I mean, Omame coming back. I don't know. I'm not saying that was the only thing, but it's nice to have the original starting five.
The band's back together.
They're back together.
I mean, if you look at this game, coming into the game, everybody said 8-4 versus 8-4. So much at stake, right? It was 10-0, and Seattle couldn't really they weren't doing a whole lot. The two Fowler penalties on third down extended those drives for them.
Yep.
They were able to find a way and get three out of the Baldwin play that should have really been, you know, challenged. That's not a catch, but it's football, so
it happens, right? Sure.
But let's just say, for domination purposes, that the 3 points. They don't exist.
And Fred, if that doesn't exist, they're not kicking off.
They're not kicking off, and that fumble's not there.
That's a great point, yeah.
And then the big plays by us, you know. So, I mean, those 14 points, they're two big plays. You know, they earned that. The other stuff they did, too, but let's just pretend they didn't, right? So, I mean, I think that in this statement game, the country should look at the Jaguars and say they're for real. You know, because everybody wrote them off. I looked at the guys doing their picks this morning, you know, Strahan, Coach Johnson, that whole crew, Howie. They all wrote off the Jags and said, hey, we're going with Seattle to go down to Florida, you know, and enjoy their trip east, and they're going to come back west with this win. That didn't happen. The Jaguars dominated this game. Now, that's a statement.
Dominated it.
It doesn't always show up on the score as it should. But in every statistical category, they went out and they did well. But the most impressive one was the turnover piece, none, and then the no sacks.
Yeah, let's go to the Everbank stats check, Fred. Nice segue there. Overall yardage, 424 to 401 in favor of the Jaguars. Rushing yardage, 156 to 141 in favor of the Jags. Passing yards, 268 to 260 in favor of the Jaguars. Penalties, those early today, 7 for 48 yards against the Jags, 6 for 73 yards against Seattle. They had those late penalties in the chippy situation there. Turnovers, Seattle turned it over 3 times, the Jags once on the kickoff return. Time of possession, 33 minutes, 1 second in favor of the Jaguars today. Yeah, the turnover ratio there. Interceptions, they're taking the ball away on defense still. They ran the ball well. And it all, as you said, Fred, yeah, the score won't indicate it because those two deep plays at the end really kind of skewed the result. Right. But it is a winning result for the Jags.
It was, and here's a little inside the numbers individually. We'll start with Seattle and get to the good stuff last. Russell Wilson threw for 271, 17 out of 31 passing today. Had 3 touchdowns, also threw 3 picks, 2 by Boye.
It's a wild one.
One by Jalen Ramsey. It really is, right? But his quarterback rating is 76.9. Keep that number in mind, and we'll compare that to Blake's here in a minute. Mike Davis, 15 carries for 66 yards. He had that nice little stretch in the third quarter where he hit 3 first downs back-to-back-to-back. Tyler Lockett led the way, 4 grabs for 90 yards. He, Doug Baldwin, and Paul Richardson catching the TDs today for Seattle. Byron Maxwell with 9 solo tackles led the way. No sacks. Nobody laid a finger on Blake Bortles in that regard, at least nothing that really threatened him. Blake completed 2/3 of his passes today, 18 to 27, 67% passer today, coming off a 70-plus percent completion percentage last week, 268 yards, 2 touchdowns, averaged 9.9 yards per attempt out there today, a quarterback rating of 123.7. Leonard Fournette, 24 carries, 101 on the ground with the touchdown. Chris Ivory, 6 carries for 48 yards. The long 34-yard run set up the first score for the Jags and gave him a halftime lead. Keelan Cole grabbed a perfectly thrown Blake Bortles spiral to answer back from a 10-10 tie to put the Jags up 17-10. He had three grabs for 99 yards, including that 75-yard score. Dede Westbrook played excellent football today. Five grabs for 81, caught a touchdown, and came up with a big 29-yarder on 3rd and 9 as well. Marquise Lee caught every ball he had a chance to catch, was interfered with, penalty not called. He was targeted 6 times, caught 5 for 65 yards. Fournette caught 4 balls out of the backfield. Aaron Colvin led the Jags with 7 tackles today. Sacks for Malik Jackson and Yannick Ngakoue. A couple other sacks negated by hands to the face penalties today. And how about Jadon Mickens with the 72-yard punt return to extend the Jaguars' 7-point lead and put them at first and goal at the 1-yard line, allowing Leonard Fournette to punch it in. Pretty much, and we mentioned Lambeau, 3-3 on the field goals. 51-yarder, the long one, contributed 12 points today. Pretty much a contribution in every aspect of the game today for the Jags.
Keep talking, Mike, if you want. Fine. No, go ahead.
You know, I mean,
let's go through everybody.
Right, we really could, right? I mean, I'm just
incredible. I mean, it was
how many game balls do you need to really give out, right, in this football game? We'll only give out one player of the game, but, I mean, you could give out a lot of game balls for performances tonight.
The Jaguars have a victory Monday tomorrow, so they will not be here again. So they'll be back in the building on Wednesday after this win today. 30-24, the win over the Seattle Seahawks, improved a record of 9-4. We'll come back with Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game honors. Plenty of consideration to be had tonight after the Jaguars win it. It's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
Hi, this is Tony Baselli. It's no secret that I love the sandwiches at Daily's Dash, but there's one sandwich that stands above the rest of them, and it keeps me coming back over and over again. It's called the Boss. They pile that bad boy with lots of roast beef, Munster cheese, roasted mushrooms, caramelized onions, and of course, some Dash sauce. Which, as much as I travel during football season, this sandwich is one more thing that makes me eager to get back to Jacksonville. I could eat the Boss every day. Daly's, a local Jacksonville company. It's nicer here.
Jaguars fans, Republic Services is now hiring CDL drivers in Duval and St. John's counties. With Republic Services, new drivers receive a $1,500 sign-on bonus and competitive benefits. Over 50% of managers in Northeast Florida started their careers as drivers. You can build your career too. Join the Republic Services team and make a positive impact on your community and the environment today. Visit republicservices.jobs for more information and to apply. Republic Services is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wear the star. Drive your career.
Hey, Jags fans, this season it could be you that takes the field. Be there when the Jags hit Everbank Field on game day through the Everbank Take the Field sweepstakes. For each home game, one lucky fan will win 2 club tickets and pregame sideline access to be on the field as the Jags are introduced. To enter and for official rules, visit everbank.com/take the field today. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of 50 United States and D.C. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 12/5/17. For official rules and complete details, visit everbank.com/take the field. Sponsor Everbank, a division of TIAA FSB.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of 5 boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Jaguars postgame rolls along, 30-24 Jags over the Seahawks to improve to a record of 9-4. The Titans lost, so the Jaguars are alone in first place in the AFC South by a game with 3 games to play, including 2 divisional games. That's some more quotes coming out of the locker room. Jalen Ramsey, of course, a happy defensive back. He said something to the effect, "We played like dogs tonight, and we should have blown them out, if I'm being real about it."
I think he's right.
Right. Just, I mean, it's what Fred said.
Right. Yeah. It's like, Fred, they talk about when you judge a fight, they say, put a 5-year-old ringside, and when it's over with, he'll tell you who won the fight. Right. Right? He doesn't care about all this point. You know, put a 5-year-old in the stands, and he saw what happened today, if he has any kind of sense. Jags dominated this football game for the most part. Now, give Seattle credit for hanging in there, but Jalen's right. They have much room for improvement, despite the fact that they got – probably their biggest win of the season.
I like how smoothly that ran off, Mike, when you said give Seattle credit for hanging in there. That's usually us.
Isn't that right?
Right.
teams are usually saying,
they're getting around. They're getting better.
The Jaguars, you know? Right. And when you hear those type statements, I mean, things have changed around here. Things have changed for the better.
Paul Posluszny got to break down the team in the locker room tonight. 9 wins, first place, his first winning season in his 11-year career.
Atta baby.
How about that?
Was he fired up, Fred, tonight too?
Hey, man, he was all over the place. We had a couple segments upstairs, highlights of Paul. He was flying all over the place, man. A lot of tackles. But he's the savvy vet. He's going to do those type things. Hope they keep him around a little longer.
All right, guys, let's get to the Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game honors. Here's how it works. I'll get a vote. Mike, you get a vote. Fred gets a vote and a half because he's Fred Taylor. That's how it works.
Oh, boy.
Tough one tonight. So, yes, Fred, you want to start us off here?
You know, I can do that. I'm going to keep it real simple. Go with my quarterback. I'm going to go with Blake. Mm-hmm. 18-27, 268, 9.9 average per throw and catch. 2 TDs, QBR. 123.7, but I'll just make that 124, right? I can do that.
Yeah, no, that works. Round up.
He had 2 drops there by tight ends. So he misconnected on 7 throws throughout the entire night. And the receivers did great jobs for hauling him in for him. So, Blake, you're my guy. Go do it, man. We need to keep building the confidence going forward.
Okay, so Blake is your vote. Mike, you want me to go or you want to go?
It doesn't matter. I'll go. I'll go next. I want to note that, last week, thought great opportunity to give it to Paul Posluszny with a monster game, right?
I think we messed up.
Got a great opportunity here to give it to A.J. Boye. Mm-hmm. He was targeted 7 times tonight, gave up 2 catches for 8 yards, had 2 interceptions. That results in a quarterback rating of 0.0 allowed in balls that he was targeted on. However, if you're not going to give it to Blake Bortles tonight, I don't know when you're going to give it to Blake Bortles. I am how many times have we said, yeah, but it's the Colts? Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. Blake Bortles, I don't care if Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor were not there, Fred. I saw what that defense was capable of doing just a week ago versus the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
And Carson Wentz and the Eagles went up and down the field on the Rams until he got hurt today. Blake Bortles, as you said, it dropped by O'Shaughnessy, dropped by Mercedes, or his numbers would be closer to 300 yards passing.
Right.
2 touchdowns. He threw 1 bad ball on the night when I think it was the linebacker got his hands on it late in the game. Only shaky pass, I thought, of the night for Blake Bortles. 123.7 quarterback rating. His 9th victory of the season, JP. You can name anybody you like because 2.5 votes in the column for Blake.
That's right.
We'll find an empty lot down beach. We're going to get us some used cars, Mike. You sold me.
Right on, baby. Come on, me and you, Fred.
We're going to sell us some cars.
I'll warm them up. You're
we're
the closer.
We're talking about this Hall of Fame thing. We got to bring you on. I think you can get me in. Happy to pitch for you, buddy.
All right. It will not be unanimous tonight because for Blake to have an effort like that and for the run game to do what they did today, I'm giving it to the entire offensive line in this football game. The last five weeks, they've had a bunch of different lineups, guys coming in and out. They haven't run the ball well.
Right.
Blake's been taking a lot of hits the last few weeks. Tonight, he was clean. They ran the ball for 156 yards. They had their starting lineup back from opening day for the first time in a while tonight with Amame back in there as well at left guard. So for me, it's the offensive line to give everything on the offense some stability on both the pass and the run game. So that's my vote. But Blake Bortles, it's hard to argue with that. What a night for the quarterback.
I tell you. Go ahead.
No, I was saying I can see why you say that, JP, because this is an honest run game statistical line because, Blake had the -2 on his 7 carries. If you look at it, we've had fake punts that added to the run game. Yep. Bortles creating some stuff. He finished with, 25, 30, 40 yards to add to the run game to help them, solidify that #1 rushing offense. But in this particular game, he had -2, no fake punts, nothing else. The running backs and the offensive line, it was all them. And they went out there and they dominated the Seattle defense, who's supposed to be pretty solid against the run.
Legion of Boom.
The Legion of Boom.
I'm not. Right. We've been saying, JP, how many times have we taken calls on the post game? and people are trying to write the story of Blake Bortles for the offseason of 2018. I'm still not going to do that.
No.
But Blake Bortles is starting to build a case for himself right now, late season. And this game is, and I'm telling you, that that's comeback perfect strike of 75 yards when the Jags might have been on the ropes for the first and only time in the football game. And to throw that ball at that time as perfectly as he did, I mean, I can't say enough about the guy. I never thought I'd see Blake play a stretch of football the way he's playing right now. So hats off to him.
When he was down, everyone said it's confidence. So what is it when he's up? It's confidence.
Yeah,
right?
It has to be
confidence. So and again, that was another reason, aside from his performance, you know, I want him to hear this, see this, see that he's gotten player of the game in my book for at least 2 weeks in a row.
I mean, he's ahead of the curve over here, JP.
That's right. He's playing great, man. He's playing solid ball. He's not turning the ball over. 14 touchdowns, I think 8 turnovers or INTs this year. You look in the stats book the last 3 years, it's usually the other way around. Mm-hmm. More picks than touchdowns, just about. So keep it going, Blake.
Yeah, rookie year, 11 touchdowns, 17 picks. That 2015 season, 35 touchdowns, 18 picks.
No.
2 years ago, or last year, sorry, 23 touchdowns, 16 picks. Now, what do you have, two today? So 16 and 8. Yeah.
But in a lot of it, in those other years, you were losing. You were always down late. And
that's right.
Those were, like, to be honest, garbage touchdowns, you know.
Right now, I bet this game, because he came into this game with a 59.8 completion percentage. This game's
He's over 60, ticks him up over
60 for the season, which would be a nice milestone for him.
60.2 right now.
There you go.
For the season.
Right. Yeah. So. Hey, still don't rest on your laurels either, right? Go out and continue to play against, you know, Houston's not as tough as Seattle. Let's be honest. Go out there and no reason you can't have a 300-yard or something close to that if that's what the game plan calls for next week.
All right, when we return, the injury report. Still more to come with Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey as well. J.P. Shadrick, Jags win it 30-24 over the Seattle Seahawks. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
Community, we recognize the value of water, because when you start talking about one water, whether it's potable or whether it's reclaimed or wastewater, we're trying to use our sources really wisely. We at JA, we are responsible for managing the Florida aquifer, that it's there for the future.
I'm Renetta Marshall, and I am Director of Project Engineering and Construction for Water and Wastewater.
It's up to all of us to take care of our water. Find out what you can do at jea.com/onewater.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of 5 boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Jaguars fans, touch down with the team when you fly from Jacksonville International Airport. Non-stop flights to cities on the Jaguars away schedule are Houston, Nashville, Baltimore, New York, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Indianapolis. Watch the Jaguars take on San Diego, Seattle, and San Francisco with just one convenient connection. So huddle with the family, break, and book your flights today.
Relax. It's just a sleepover. Besides, we've got DirecTV, so we've totally got this.
Okay, kids, movie time!
Maybe not, with your satellite dish in this heavy storm.
Who is that?
Me? I'm the legal disclaimer.
Fine. We'll play musical chairs instead.
You have two chairs and a couch.
Don't let DirecTV rain on your parade. Xfinity delivers reliable TV service, rain or shine. Severe weather, heavy rain or snow may interfere with the satellite signal, causing the picture to freeze or pixelate.
The kick is up. It's good! It's time for Field Goals for Firehouse. You can score a medium Firehouse sub when you donate $5 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation. If the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more on the Wednesday following the game, get a medium sub with a $5 donation to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation. It's Field Goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been this tasty. Firehouse Sub.
How do you become the official truck of the NFL? You make it tough
with high-strength military-grade aluminum alloy. You make it smart with Pro Trailer Backup Assist. You make it for work. And the weekend, Ford F-Series, making tough jobs easier year after year. That's how you become America's best-selling truck 40 years straight. Score one at your local Ford dealer.
Jags knock off the Seahawks 30-24. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Jaguars postgame rolls along. Jags 9-4. Yes, the Jags are 9-4. They're in first place in the AFC South. Three games to play. Houston here next week at San Francisco on Christmas Eve, and then home or on the road, rather, against Tennessee on New Year's Eve. That's all that remains between the Jaguars and the postseason. The injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Larry Pinkard was out of the ball game today with a concussion. It was in the second quarter. He was evaluated and was out of the ball game. A few other bumps and bruises. We didn't really see much else too serious for this Jags team today. I will ask you guys, how bad did the Jaguars miss Telvin Smith today?
You know, I thought, he probably would have forced tougher throws for Russell on a few of those crossers. And then the communication probably would have been there. And so they would have minimized some of those big plays to the receivers, because those were just matchup plays against the backers. I think they saw maybe three sets where they were able to take advantage of pause out there and cross the routes to Baldwin. They ran that place twice. They just flipped the formation. And then the play deep ball to Lockett right there. So there's some communication issues, and I'm pretty sure the coaches are going to go back in there during the meeting. They're going to, tighten that up. They're going to talk about it, tighten it up on Wednesday.
I thought, particularly he was going to be crucially missed with Russell Wilson taken off on third downs or whatever down in extended plays. Right. And, Russell Wilson did okay on the ground, five carries, 50 yards, Russell Wilson's going to have those kind of stats. He has them against everybody.
That's what Malik Jackson said. They know they're going to get some on the ground with Russell. You just can't let him get 40 on the ground.
He didn't have that drive, JP, when, for instance, 3 minutes left in the game. That's when Russell Wilson, Fred, has four runs in a row and a rip off 40 yards on a single drive and break your heart at the end of the game. And they avoided that kind of performance out of him. So, look, you always miss Telvin Smith when he's not on the field. That's why they paid him the big bucks, right? But pretty good statement for the Jags to play as well as they did today without him.
Russell Wilson entering today's game was the best fourth quarter passer in the NFL. 134.1 rating in the fourth quarter. They got better today with a couple of touchdowns. So the Jags withstood it and got the win, 30-24. We'll come back and preview next week's game. The Houston Texans limp into Everbank Field next week. Jags are 9-4 in first place. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Mulaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
At Everbank, defined by performance, they live it. So if you're looking to buy a house or refinance a mortgage, it's time to call your hometown lending specialists. They're ready to put in the work for you with competitive rates, local expertise, and unbeatable service. Get ready to make the most of your lending experience. Connect with an Everbank mortgage expert by visiting them online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Everbank is a division of TIAA, FSB, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS, 399-805.
The only way to top a Jaguars touchdown is with an extra point, right? Oh, for six big fun points, score one touchdown of a vacation with a Carnival cruise from Jacksonville. Sail to the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Bermuda aboard the Way Fun Carnival Elation. Plus, the ship is now sporting four new bars and restaurants, including signature Guy Fieri burgers, a new water park, and for the first time ever, more balcony staterooms. Talk about the extra point, Jacksonville? No, that's a two-point conversion. Visit Carnival.com today to find your cruise and a great deal.
You like working outdoors and want better pay and benefits? Superior Fence and Rail is seeking full-time fence installers who can provide first-class customer service. No experience? No problem. They'll train you to work with their professional team and provide you with all the tools to be a top-notch installer. Get off the fence. Call Superior Fence and Rail today and start your career.
When you're on the fence, about a fence, SuperiorFenceAndRail.com.
Final moments of Jaguars postgame. If you're on our flagship station in Jacksonville, 1010 XL, stick around. The Scoreboard Show is next. The phone lines will be open at 355-NFL-1.
You know what we say on that show?
What's that?
Scoreboard!
That's what the Jags are saying today to the Seahawks. 30-24, J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. The Jaguars today had four plays of over 20 yards in the game, 75-yarder, 34-yarder. From Ivory, 29-yarder to Westbrook, a 23-yarder to Westbrook. They had two other plays of 18 yards, a 16-yard play. I mean, they're racking up these big plays today get ahead of the Seahawks and then had to withstand the storm there at the end. They got it done today. They're in first place. Up next, the Houston Texans. This is a team that the Jaguars dominated week one, remember, with their full assortment of players. Deshaun Watson was not starting that game. He played the second half. He's not there. The backup's not there now. He's likely out this week, and the entire defense is hurt. This is one of the most banged-up football teams you'll see coming in to Everbank Field next week. That said, division game, got to go win this football game next week.
Yeah, it's definitely a must-win, no matter the record, no matter the opponent. It doesn't matter who's out there. You want to win this game because you're sole possession of first place in your division. And really, that's the biggest objective. That's the biggest goal when you look at it. But if all hell's true, holds true, the Texans are scheduled to win this game by looking at their record.
Uh-oh.
They lost to start the season against the Jags. So it's loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. Three losses, a win, three losses. Next week would be
a loss.
Ooh, a loss. Well, how about four losses?
I mean, they can change fate, right? But no, it's just a game where Texans are beat up. They're beat up real bad. The defense has been beat up for a while. The offense has lingered over to that side of the ball. You know, they have T.J. Yates, who's been there for a while, very familiar with the system. But he hadn't seen the Jaguars' defensive front. He hadn't seen those cornerbacks. They're going to find a way to take away Hopkins, and I think when you do that, really the ball game is over.
All kidding aside, as much as we're having some fun tonight, and why wouldn't we? It was a great measuring stick game. As we said, next week's game is more important
right. Because
it's a division game,
right?
So if it comes down to the end of this, if week 17 matters, that game means right. More than the one today did. So let's get them both.
And not only that, it was good to see the 49ers hadn't given up on their season either. I mean, they're not really playing for a lot other than, you know, respect a little bit, you know. But they went down there to Houston, and they beat them by 10. So
they get the Titans next week.
That's right.
They get the Titans next week, and they could – you never know what's going to happen. They'll be at home. But, you know, the Texans, we handle them. Then you go out west, you handle them. And then you wrap it up with the team that's chasing you right now. So – the ball's in our court, you know, and the guys are aware of that. They, you know, like they like to look and say, I don't want to look to next week and all of that stuff. Yeah, okay. It sounds good to the media.
Thank you. I've
been in that situation before, even the coaches. But, you know, that's just a way to keep everybody calm, you know. So I think these guys are going to close out in good fashion.
The sold-out house today got a show. You were out there, Fred, all day. How was the scene in the stadium today?
It was a good scene. It was definitely a good crowd out there. Few little patches here and there, even though it was sold out. I like to see it full, you know. And I think that, you know, and I'm asking myself, the team isn't losing. You know, so it has a little bit room for improvement.
Okay.
Because there are a few empty seats, but, you know, it's a lot more than we've seen in some time around here. And just being honest, because I want to summon the Duvillians. Can I say Duvillians?
Duvalians.
Duval, Jayville.
Sure.
All that.
We're getting a little carried away now.
We got to get back in the stadium, man, because it helps. It helps when you're screaming and the stadium is rumbling and all that stuff. The guys go crazy, man. It's a good feeling.
Yeah. Well, next week, you know, it's a great chance to do it. Then you take the holidays away from you, watch them on TV, right, for Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and be ready for some home playoff football. It's headed that way, man.
I like it.
It's headed that way.
It really
it's
is.
Gonna happen.
Right now, Pittsburgh leading Baltimore in the Sunday night football game, 7-0 first quarter there, and root for the Ravens tonight. Fred, we'll talk to you next week before the Jags and the Texans get it on here.
Looking forward to it, boss.
Fred Taylor, pride of the Jaguars, joining us on Jaguars postgame. For those on our flagship, again, stick around. The Scoreboard Show is next in Jacksonville on 1010 XL. Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Director of Broadcasting, Patrick Cavanaugh. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are the producers. Ashlyn Sullivan directs the show for Jaguars.com. For Jeff Loggeman, Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey, and our entire crew, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night. Final score, Jags 30, Seahawks 24 on the Jaguars Radio Network.